Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining another episode of Gamertag Radio. I think it's, I don't even know what episode it is, so I'm going to let Danny do that on his own and add all of that information into the show.
Danny can do all the hard work.
Exactly. Not my job to do all of that stuff here. Anyways, if you want more information, head on over to gamertagradio.com. Check out all of our past shows, including this one. You can also check out our Twitch page. Just finished doing a really fun playthrough of the game Bright Memory, which is coming soon to Xbox Game Pass. It's already out on PC, but the one coming out to Xbox Series X is going to be Bright Memory Infinite, which is this. It's an episodic first-person action adventure hack and slash. Sci-fi. Like it's like all the best genres mixed into one. Anyways. For more information on Gamertag Radio, Danny's going to play a quick audio clip for it.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're back. This is going to be the most awkward show, and I don't care because I had a lot of fun.
We didn't even introduce ourselves. We're like, yeah, let's go. We're like ready.
Well, we already know who we are, right? Well, anyways, this is Peter. I'm sure you guys know. But on the other side of the mic is my good friend, Mandy. How are you?
What's up? I was very entertained. So for those of you who are listening to this on the podcast, Pete got up and live streamed him playing through the game. I played it last night and it was very entertaining to watch him like hit all the places that I had difficulty. Like we both struggled in some of the exact same places. And absolutely. I also died 6 times.
Yes. All right. So I'm on average. I'm on brand. all right. So I don't know. Do you want to start it off? Or I mean, I can kick it off as well.
Maybe. Yeah. So I'm going to like add a little bit on to kind of what you introed with in the sense that Bright Memory Infinite is on everybody's radar now because it appeared during the Inside Xbox earlier this week, and it was a surprise to a lot of people. It's made by, let me see, FYQD Studios, which is, I believe, one guy. And it's actually really funny because I saw it and was like, I feel like I know what this is because I had bought Bright Memory, which is the kind of like episodic single episode that's available right now on Steam like weeks ago with the intent to play it. So I was like, wait a second, this seems familiar. So it's shown off. It'll be on Xbox Series X. I'm going to cheat a little because I went over and was digging around on like the Xbox website. So it will have all of the things that Microsoft's been kind of touting, faster load times, ray tracing, optimized for the Series X, smart delivery. They actually, at least from what I've seen, nowhere does it confirm Game Pass, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does appear on that. And it does, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It is listed on Xbox's website as a 2021 title.
Correct. Right. So in just going through some more information on Bright Memory and FYQD, as we saw in the gameplay earlier, The name of the studio is actually was created by the developers. A single guy he's from China. His name is, and I'm going to butcher the name, but I'm going to do my best to try and say it anyways. Zhen Chenpeng, using the Unreal Engine 4. And he first previewed the game back in 2017, and then he got money from Epic Games' dev grants for using the Unreal Engine. So that's pretty cool. An early version of this game actually did come out last year. And it actually supports Oculus. So if you have Oculus Rift and you've got VR goggles and you want to check it out that way, you can. Anyways, so yeah, this game is going to be coming out. I'm doing more digging. I know I talked about it on stream earlier, but yes, it will be coming out for PlayStation 4 as well. I mean, hey, again, it's episodic. So this isn't, you know, we're just going to see this part and then hopefully, you know, as the months go on and the game comes out of into actual launch, we'll start seeing, you know, more content coming out. I am curious, though, how much content we're going to get up front. And for those that purchased it up front already on Steam, I mean, I picked it up for $10 right after the Xbox Series, you know, the Xbox Live event a couple days ago. But apparently it was on sale for like $5 back in March. And I'm kicking myself for not having picked it up back then.
Did you even know about it back then?
No, like it just like I had heard about it, but I was like, I didn't see much like to get my interest because I saw it on like, you know, coming soon or whatever, like, you know, on sale, whatever.
The panels for
on Yeah, Steam. As it flips through. And sometimes you see one that catches your eye. And I saw it and I like, okay, I'll put it on the wish list. But like, I never did anything about it. And then when I saw the actual gameplay on the Xbox Live event the other night, and I was like, oh, okay. All right. On the Inside Xbox is the event. I keep forgetting that name. But when I saw the event, I was like, okay. I hovered over to the Steam page. I was like, bye. So I'm glad I did. And if you did pick it up, you'll automatically get folded into Infinite when it releases into general release.
Yeah, so definitely one of my questions is similar to you. If it'll be like, is it all of like the Telltale games where like they were releasing each episode at a cadence versus like just give me everything up front? I don't mind that it's told in an episodic format, but I want to be able to like play all of it in one go because I'm super curious about this world now.
Well, like you, it's similar to that vein. Are you open to waiting, like let's say every week for new content to come out? Like this week comes out, then you have a new thing, and then a week or two comes out, or a week or two later, then another episode comes out? Or would you rather have it drop on you like Netflix?
I mean, if it's only going to be a couple weeks apart, I think I would be okay with it. And my concern is with how often games are coming out and how many there are, that if you have like 3 months between episodes dropping, like it falls off your radar if there's too big of a gap. So if it's like every other week, that would feel close enough where you still are engaged. But if it starts going longer than that, I feel like you're going to run into the trouble of like just the completion rate, the number of people that will come back is probably going to be much lower because if it's too long, they've moved on to something else.
Right. That makes sense, right? Especially people like you and I who have a tendency to not finish games. Guilty as charged.
We have so many like just started games or like halfway
exactly
games.
Oh, I'm the world record holder. I'm pretty sure of that, right? But I'm sure, like you said, the completion rate, the completion rate of games that are dropped episodic as opposed to one big, you know, just a big, you know, block of DLC is probably going to be much higher if they go with the Netflix version, as opposed to, you know, week one, you get this, week two, you get that, because new games come out, things happen. I mean, hell, we're all living in the middle of a pandemic. So you know, who knows? That could change
things. Attention spans are even shorter. Like, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the worst. So, all right. So we've gone over the beginning, the intro of what the game
is.
There are some things in there that I felt could have been better.
The grapple,
absolutely. So as I noticed, when running, you can't run and grapple at the same time. And it almost seems like that mechanic is, I don't want to say broken. Maybe it wasn't thought through, or maybe it was just a little too difficult to develop for. And I'm curious if that's something that we'll see, you know, in the full game.
Yeah, it's not even just that like you can't run, but if you had it pretty down by the time you got to the later part of your playthrough. But one of the things I ran into is that there's a very specific like window when you can let go, like jump off the grapple at the end of the arc. So you can't just disengage it anytime. And that was like frustrating to me, where I'm just like, let me go. And like waiting for it to like pop up on screen, like, oh, press space.
Right.
It was also interesting because it wasn't, I guess I'm used to some of the other games that have been using or that I've played relatively recently with grappling, like the Tomb Raider games, because I feel like a lot of times you had to be like looking at a very specific angle at the place where you needed to grapple to be able to actually like engage it. Like it wouldn't just grapple on its own. It had to show the key in at the space and you got to hit it at the right time. So just that probably ties into the whole not being able to like run and jump and grapple at the same time. But yeah, it was definitely, I think of all of the controls, the grapple was the most frustrating for me while I was playing.
And I know, I also noticed it would tell you grapple and you would press the Q and it wouldn't do the grapple animation. It would do the double jump animation or like the lunge animation. So it was like, maybe. And again, one developer, maybe not going through a lot of QA as most other titles would go through. But I mean, I could definitely see the polish. I could definitely see the attention to things. My concern though is the confusion on the keyboard because you're doing a lot of Q, W, E, A, S, F. There's just way too many things. Some of the menu items didn't, like some of the menu selections, like when you're selecting, like, okay, I can unlock time, but it didn't give me an option to assign time to one of my hotkeys on the screen. It seemed like two of them were missing. Right, because I had the bottom row and then the top left, but it didn't have give me a chance to like maybe I don't want to use the light sword, or I don't want to use the EMP push, or maybe when I want to do certain ones. So
yeah, I think it was interesting because I felt I actually had a note here that it was a lot of trial and error with the controls, and it was interesting because in some places I felt like it was very unguided. Like you run in and they're just like, just start firing at things. They're not actually telling you what to do with all of your controls. And then in other places, it was very, very structured. And that's kind of what it felt here because it was interesting. We actually unlocked different skills. So I unlocked one that maps to the T button, and it's basically this giant dome that for like 5 seconds is going to do a lot of the light sword slashes.
Yeah, the area of effect damage. Yeah, I saw that one.
And so it was like, one, it was interesting to watch you play through with different skills than me because there were places where I was like, let me drop this in. It's just going to do a bunch of damage to everything in my AOE. But yeah, it's this weird mix of feeling like they wanted you to follow a very specific path and then not actually locking it so that you do that. And you end up with situations like yours where you chose abilities that you then couldn't map to keys. And it definitely, like, I was thinking about it when it was starting as I was getting used to the controls, that, like, would this actually play better on a controller, or can the keyboard?
I definitely thought that.
Yeah. And it's funny. Did you use the dodge at all?
By accident, mostly. Yeah. 90% of the time I use the dodge by accident. But if I'd have had a better way to map, which abilities or which key presses would have done things, it would have made life a little bit easier. But I definitely agree with you that I think this game may have been designed for the controller and then given keyboard and mouse ability afterwards, kind of like a backup, right?
Well, it's
because
probably
I don't
easier,
see how
like to like, easier to put it onto PC than going through Xbox or PlayStation cert. And then as a result, they're like, oh, we built this for a controller. Now we need to map mouse and keyboard.
Right. Well, I mean, it was released, 2019 for Microsoft Windows. So I can definitely see how, and, you know, obviously playing on Xbox or playing on PC, there is some form of, some form of controller support. But again, I wish they would have given us the opportunity to like, all right, the dash, let me double tap S.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I definitely feel like on one side, there were so many places where this was polished and it obviously like looks good, and, you know, difficulties with some of the controls, it like felt good to play. Like the bulk of the experience was relatively smooth. But then I'm like, was this intended to just be a demo? Like, it's just the way it's structured was very interesting. It's like you got this bite-sized piece of the game experience. And, you know, would you say the average is like 40 minutes to complete it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like such a weird dichotomy between, you know, us giving it a try and being like, oh, this is so neat, And then the flip side of just how some of it was set up, like the controls, the tutorial, not tutorial, like kind of directional.
Was that a tutorial?
I don't know. Like sometimes they're giving you like do this and other times they're not. And I was like quite confused on it. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's one of those where it's like, but all of it said, you know, all of our difficulties aside, I think it with the controls, like overall, like I liked it. I liked their POV for her. I definitely enjoyed, like, now I'm super curious about this world and the characters and the story. Like, dude, what's going to happen? Who's this other guy? Where's Wake? Like, what's the backstory here? And I felt like using this as your intro to Bright Memory felt like a really good hook to make me interested in more, besides the fact that, like, overall, I enjoyed playing it.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
I think the last line for me that she spoke confused me. Is Wake okay? Wait, this guy's trying to kill you, but is Wake okay?
Not the same guy.
So exactly. So there's something between them. So that's obviously has more to do with the pending storyline. So it'd definitely be interesting to see how that plays out, having that pre-built relationship. This isn't just, you know, an intruder coming into the lab to steal things or what have you. Mm-hmm. There's something between them, whether it's professional or romantic, who knows? This, considering this being an action adventure game written in the East, there's always that romantic emotional twist. So it'll be nice to see how that plays out.
Pete's waiting for that. But yeah, no, I'd say like if I could pull out a couple of things to kind of like step out when I played through, it was like the point of view. I think we both definitely ran into some of the same difficulties when you hit some of those areas where you're just getting waves of enemies. Like, no, there was a lot of yelling, no, very similar to you, and like running away and okay, now what? And, you know, I like this fun kind of, you know, brawler style with them giving you the combos and the score rating, with how well you kind of tie everything together. Even the abilities for all that, they're kind of interesting. I mean, we obviously don't have a ton of groundwork for the world and what they come from. Using that to traverse the environment and things that like felt very combination of like Mirror's Edge parkour with maybe some Vanquish, you know, tech and additional abilities like coming together into this first person experience. And I like it tied together well. Like the whole time I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. Like enjoying having to think through it. Though that one puzzle going around the whole room was, I kept falling off of things too. And I was just like super frustrated. It's like, I just want to get to the end.
Do you think that maybe the lack of a tutorial or maybe a hint system in parts like that would be helpful in the future? Or do you think it's better to just let the player stumble and fight his or herself through that?
That's a hard one, because on one side, I like the idea of them kind of guiding it. But at the same time, on the flip side, outside of some of the frustration that comes with figuring it out yourself, because they're, to some extent, they are puzzles. I don't think I reached any point where I was like, that's it. And I wanted to like throw a controller and walk away. It was more that I was like, oh, come on, I can do this. And you like see where you're messing up and you recognize it. And it's more that like your inputs or the controls aren't working the way that you wanted them to, like watching you get stuck at that spot where I'm like, there's an indicator in the corner, there's a grapple here, and just being like, it's so small that getting that to like register while you're very focused and trying to like progress is super hard. And I had that a few times where I'm like, there should be a grapple here, there was no grapple. And like, oh, I need to double jump. And like things like that were. So I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that, because I didn't hate it. I think I finished it in like 33 or 34 minutes. So like I was able to do it and I didn't reach like the frustration point of playing like a Dark Souls game.
Did you anticipate the creatures coming back to life?
No, like they did? The resurrection, especially that big guy at the end was the worst.
Yes.
Like he came back to life and the whole time, like this is the same place you were at before. For those of you who watched the playthrough, which you can go back, it'll be up on the GTR page of Pete. You end up like doing this loop and ending and back at a place that you were at the beginning, but with a different enemy. And so the whole time I'm going like, wait, these things shot fire before. I was waiting for that to happen. And then of course they start as soon as he like resurrects himself. And the whole time I'm like, no, 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 no.
What are your thoughts then on developers reusing old parts of the game?
I think right?
So like we just like you said, we, you know, I had just run through that area, you know, like maybe 10 minutes prior. All right. So that was after the jumping part. So, all right. So 20 minutes after
you've done a full loop of this place.
And it, exactly. So going back to an area where you've already gone through an encounter and literally going through it again, just with a different boss. Do you think that that cheapens the experience or is that just a developer reusing that area for just more fun or gameplay?
I think if you can make it make sense. So in this case, it's a bit comedic because you've been foiled trying to get out of this place like five times. and so for me, it's like, oh, okay, you got back to somewhere familiar. So like in the context of thinking through like the experience or the person that you're playing, you've been foiled, you know, sad flute music played, and then you're back at some place and you're like, oh, okay, this is familiar. So I think that there's a way that you can make it work. And even though you're in the same place and some of the environmental things reoccurred, like the walls breathing fire, for me, the encounter felt different because like you're in the same environment, but the encounter wasn't the same as the first time for me. And so I think that there are ways you can reuse environments and spaces to build your story without making it feel like you're just kind of, again, without going kind of the Dark Souls route where you're just like grinding, running through the same place over and over again. And like you hate it, but you have to do it to be able to progress. That's a bit different than kind of the story leading you back to someplace you were before. And in this case, it ended with an alternative path. So it felt more like you were going through sensical motions versus here, just come fight this guy again, just cause.
All right. So all things considered, now that you've run through it, what would you rate it 1 to 10 on anticipation for Infinite coming out?
Ooh, I definitely think that I'm anticipating it more than when I'd seen the trailer during Inside Xbox, now that I've played it, because they've like given just enough for me to be interested in whether they're going to like, okay, are the controls going to get a little bit better? Is, you know, what's the story? How many episodes? Like how much am I actually going to get here? So I'd say I'm probably at like a solid 7 or 8. Like it's not, I have to have it, but it's definitely much stronger than like when I watched the trailer while you guys were doing your commentary for Inside Xbox, where I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, oh, that looks familiar. Like that was more like, oh, it was neat to see. And now I'm like, oh, I've played it. Like I want to know more now.
Nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it with no release date in sight. I'm concerned that too much time is going to occur between now and actual launch. And hopefully the memory of the gameplay sticks so that when I see the alert, hey, you know, coming out on an arbitrary date, I'm throwing this out random, it's coming out July 25th, 2020 or 2021, I'll be like, oh yeah, that was a lot of fun. I can't wait to jump back into it. I'm going to go play it. I don't want the game to come out and then I'm already immersed in PUBG 2 or whatever, right? And be like, oh yeah, I remember that. It was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to have too much time come out. So hopefully, with the backing of Microsoft Studios, you know, if that's a thing, or is it just him by himself still?
think they specified. He has a publisher. It's not Microsoft.
Right. Okay.
But there is a publisher, Playism, which
Playism, yeah.
Not familiar with is where like instantly, sorry, I'm looking at the other screen for the people that are on stream. So like instantly goes right to Google it. I'm not familiar with them, but I mean, that means he has support. So it's, it's always a kind of give and take with a publisher developer relationship, but I'm kind of the same way. Like I've also taken steps, I think more recently I've been picking up more indie games and probably less of the AAA titles than I have previously. So I definitely don't want it to get lost, but I think them being able to have a trailer to open an inside Xbox with it definitely gives them visibility and hopefully, you know, people playing it, this early access version available on Steam and seeing it will help keep the hype alive so that once they reach kind of the full release, there's this continued interest. But I'm the same as you. Yeah. Like, I hope it doesn't get lost because like, this is interesting.
That's my fear. That's my fear, especially with all of the larger titles coming out, obviously with, you know, not just Xbox, but all the PlayStation, you know, console releases that are coming soon. All of those, you know, all of their first party studios and then obviously the big third party studios, they're going to be ramping up marketing for their respective titles. And like you said, hopefully there's not going to be, you know, overstimulation or we're not going to have an oversaturation of new titles that pushes this off of the can't wait to play list.
Mm-hmm. I think if nothing else, I'm actually a little reassured that Xbox was the one who got to kind of show it off for the first time, because if nothing else, they do have the indie team at Xbox who does a lot of work to spotlight these smaller developers. And so my hope is that that will continue. But I'll say overall, like I was impressed for what I knew of this, which was very limited. I think I saw it on Steam, like on one of my scrolling, and I was like, oh, that looks neat. And it's a, you know, it's a woman who's the protagonist, like bye. But for all that there were some difficulties with the controls, like this guy has done some good work with it. Like I'm very surprised to like watch the graphics and play through and be like, this was basically one guy. Like, well done, sir.
To see that one person, and that was the prevailing concept, or that was the prevailing thought or commentary, not just on our stream, but, you know, everywhere else during the Inside Xbox event, was, you know, one person did this, and that's amazing. And could you imagine what they could do with the full support of like a AAA studio? You know, could you imagine just, you know, what we would have to probably get a lot sooner, which, you know, that would make a lot of people a lot more happier.
You never know, things can happen. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to the fuller game. I definitely hope that having actually this bit of game already out on Steam will help, because I think I saw it, people in the chat, feel free, sorry, I'm talking to the Twitch chat. Feel free to let us know your thoughts, but I feel like I saw several be like, oh, now that I'm seeing gameplay, like it's an even stronger hook than just having seen the trailer during Inside Xbox. So there's really like, he's done himself a service in this case for people to be able to see a bit more of the game than just these trailers that feel a bit cinematic in a lot of cases. So hopefully that continues to kind of keep the discussion alive.
I will say, and to try to like tie in this with Infinite, there were scenes from Bright Memory Infinite that came to mind while I was in game. Like, so going through the jumping puzzle, which we're going to talk about jumping puzzles later, but I mean, like Paris and Khalif from Spawn on Me, they're notoriously poor at those skills. So yeah, I'm throwing shade in the middle of the stream. But there was a moment in the Inside Xbox trailer where Shayla, whatever her name is.
Shelia.
Yeah. So she runs and jumps against the wall while, you know, she does like a run jump similar to like, you know, like we'd see in like Mirror's Edge or Titanfall. And so I tried to do it and that didn't happen. So I'm curious if that's something that they're going to implement when Infinite comes out as like an update to, because what we saw on the trailer in comparison to what we played they're almost night and day. And yeah. maybe that's that Series X polish or that trailer polish, you know, because we didn't see any of the HUD, you know, we didn't see any, you know, press this button for these effects or, you know, et cetera. We didn't see any of that. But the graphics on Infinite went through a major overhaul, and like little things like when when she finishes running through her clip and she's going to pull in a new one, and you see the barrel like bright red and smoking, and it's like, okay, is that just for this, or is that going to be, was that just for the trailer, or is that actually going to be seen in the gameplay? Because there's moments where time slows down. Excuse me. Uh-oh, there we go. We got the FYQD ninjas coming in, affecting me here. But
dun, dun, dun. Like,
Exactly. Are we going to see that come when Infinite comes out?
I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess so. The flip side of that one being, like, obviously gameplay gives people a bit of better taste, is obviously Infinite is the next stage of development. That's mm-hmm. I'm guessing where they want to go, and we're seeing things that just aren't there yet in the bright memory that's available on PC right now. So our expectations aren't quite at the same level as like what we're seeing.
Yeah. And again, that's, you know, us having been in games for as long as we have having played, you know, games over the years, and just things we'd like to see, right? Hopefully what we saw in the trailer translates over. Hopefully those things come over. I mean, and it's not a knock, because again, it's still one person doing all of this. So, and I'm no game developer. So already, you know, they're a legend in my eyes, you know, because you need to give, you know, all developers need to be given those, you know, those praises, because the work that they do is amazing. It's not something that just anybody can just, I saw a YouTube video and I can do it.
I'm really interested in how long it took him to make like this portion.
Right.
With like the quality that it's at.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, for sure. For sure. So I'm curious. Well, and I don't want to say I'm curious. I hope that what we saw in the trailer are true depictions of gameplay, and mm-hmm. not just some like zhuzhed up, you know, like set pieces just for what we saw. So,
yeah. So I think to round it all out, it sounds like we both enjoyed playing the game, but we still have some light concerns about controls and what's ultimately delivered on, and hope to keep this on our radar. Obviously, we mm-hmm. we don't have an actual timetable, and outside of knowing that it's episodic, we don't know anything else about how the content will be dropped. But it's definitely on the radar to say, like, oh, I hope that they can deliver against the expectations that have been set from what we saw during the Inside Xbox event.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, for anybody that has a PC and wants to give it a try, I believe you mentioned earlier that the Bright Memory early access is $10. So if you want to give it a try.
Yeah, so it was $10, or 10 Swiss francs, because I'm in Switzerland now. So, but that, you know, it's almost 1-to-1. So it might be like $9.95 or something like that for the folks in the States.
Yeah. Yeah, $9.99.
All right.
I mean, ultimately, it's if you want to give it a try, if you're really not sold and that's what you want, or, you know, we don't have a timetable yet, so don't feel rushed. Infinite will come at some point, and hopefully we'll be seeing more of it in the future. So I don't know. They've like, it's interesting. It was great to see something atypical in an Xbox stream. They had a lot of interesting things there, and great to see them open on something fresh and new like this.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we're just going to go ahead and cut it here. Thank you very much, Mandy, for stopping by and as well hanging out in the stream during my gameplay. Had a lot of fun. Folks, if you want more information on the game, go to Steam. Just look up Bright Memory Infinite, or just, you know, throw it in your Google search or whatever search engine you use. Again, this is Peter. This has been Gamer Tag Radio, whatever episode Danny inserts here, because I'm not paying attention right now.
This has been a Bright Memory Roundtable by Pete and Mandy.
Exactly. Mandy, thank you so much taking time out of your busy Sunday morning from your coffee drinking and hanging out with me and the rest of the stream. Appreciate
what
it.
I do. So, Daniel, tag on all the things. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Absolutely.
Guys. And have a good one.
All right. You too.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.